want to interfere with people's sedarim about the issues of taiva and personal kedusha. And it's something, obviously, which is so, so significant. This topic of dealing with taiva, this issue of personal kedusha, many often hear people speak, and people will say that this issue is a machla of a generation. And this issue is a machla, you speak to people, there's 87 machalos of a generation, of this is a problem, or that's a problem. Certainly in my experience in doing this job here for the last 9 years, and also in Rabbanus, to me, the major issue that I've come across is this issue. People dealing with issues of addiction, dealing with issues of a lack of self-control, dealing with issues of a lack of a personal kedusha. A person sees themselves as being people of kedusha, and then they make all sorts of decisions, and they become ensnared, and they lose their way, and then their whole perception of themselves, their simchas chayim, is affected by that. To me, it's something which I see in every corner of the universe, in every corner in Klal Yisrael, in every corner of the world. The truth is, the Ramchal discussed beautifully in the beginning of Derech Hashem and in other places about a person is created both with an equal measure of Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. A person is placed in an environment of an equal amount of Tov and an equal amount of Ra. And by being placed completely sort of in this almost neutral environment, a person can make decisions in their own life. That's sort of the assumption of Ramchal, that the world's been created with almost sort of like an equal measure, almost like an open playing field, so to speak. That might have been true in the times of the Ramchal. We know the Ramchal lived a very, very sort of monastic life, and he lived in a cave, and even he felt the world was sort of equal between Tov and Ra. I'm not sure we can say in our own life, knowing our own nature, knowing our own Yetzer, that we're created totally in a world of an equal pull of Tov and Ra. I'm not sure if that's our experience. Even in the time of the Gemara, people know the famous Gemaras about the Amorayim that felt a desire to have a relationship with the Zona. What the Gemara tells us, what the Amorayim should do, and the Gemara tells us how that was such an overwhelming Yetzahara. This is back in the time of the Amorayim. Before anything out there, even people felt the connection towards Nus. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah about the Amorayim who were walking sort of on the Derech, and they were drawn towards either base Nus or base Avodah Zarah. There's just dozens of Gemaras that even tell us that the Amorayim themselves struggled with these issues. And if it's certainly true in the times of the Amorayim, in the times of the Rishonim, something the Ramban was conscious about, how much more so in our day. So even people themselves gathered here, the 20 of you or anybody else who's listening, they find for themselves that it's not an issue. They find they're not feeling drawn or brought down by taiva. Certainly if people have siblings or friends or roommates, or if they go into chinuch down the road, it's something that people feel so, again, torn by. My brother's a psychiatrist. He lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and his specialty is he works with geriatrics, but because he's sort of well-known in Ramat Beit Shemesh, people come to him. He tells us that literally once a week, another Rosh Yeshiva, another Rosh Kolel, a Ram, someone else learning Kolel, they come to him often with their wives saying they've lost all control of their life. Something with every corner of the world. So obviously we see this. The issue of taiva that people normally think about really is an issue when it comes to obviously in areas, in sexual areas, in areas of that like. But the Baal Musar do point out, just almost as a Hakdama, saying the Revolbi discussed beautifully, that even though perhaps the major taiva in a person's life relates to nashim and things of that nature, a person really needs to develop a personality itself, a self-control. If a person is someone that they can't, whatever reason, they can't wake up, and they can't get up in time. They can't wake up in the morning. A person has an issue; they can't control themselves around food. A person has an issue; they can't control themselves in life. So then again, it's not a personality that's cultivated of self-control. It's not a personality that's cultivated of having discipline, of being a person that as Mizaris themselves, and therefore the entire personality, if we expect to have control of ourselves in a very difficult area, so that sort of needs to build a personality overall of discipline, of having a certain structure, of having a certain Seder in a person's life in all areas. A person that has no control around food, so that person often will have sort of other, perhaps even more serious areas of their life. I was speaking to Binyam yesterday about an unrelated issue. People, I happen to love learning in the mirror, right, whenever I go there. And sometimes you see people that becomes as much better now than it used to be. But many yeshivas, people go like storming into the dining room during lunch, and people sort of throwing each other away and grabbing for more so food. You know, to me, that's not like an overall religious personality. And those things sort of have carryovers in other areas of a person's life. So certainly the overall perspective on taiva needs to first start with areas that perhaps, again, food and sleep, self-control, the way that we speak. If a person is struggling with areas that relate to internet and relate to a computer and relate to what's around a person, and again, when I was here in YU, guys would struggle with this. So back in 92 and 93 and 94, a person would have to sort of go like on a CIA operation or like Mossad. They would put on like a black sweatshirt and a hood, and they would go to some bodega in the middle of Washington Heights, and they would invite, you know, like you sort of had to go out of your way back in those days to find some outlet in an appropriate way. Obviously, Bismana said that's not the case. So people are struggling, as so many people are struggling. So what can a person, what's a perspective in a person's life and how to deal with these issues? I want to suggest briefly just five different thoughts. Perhaps some of them are effective, none of them are effective, but just something again. The first, and this is obvious, is the necessity of just removing oneself. And again, it's pashut. Removing oneself from opportunities that circumstances arise in. A guy called me this week who was going out with a girl seriously and was asking about yichud situations, right? The person's at the girl's house, the parents are asleep, upstairs in the house, they're in the basement. Is that a problem of yichud or not? And Al Pidin, what's the answer to the question? Parents are in the house? Probably not. It's probably not a problem of Al Pidin. The person's in their apartment and the door is open and people are walking by. Is that a problem of yichud? Al Pidin, probably it's not a case of yichud. But any smart person obviously understands the necessity of not placing themselves anywhere close to a situation in which, if they know themselves, they can easily find opportunities of circumventing sort of those circumstances, those issues. If a person really has a policy of not being around a computer or not being home or making sure if the computer is on, other people around, or all the filters, and even then it's not always effective. I had a guy come to me a couple of years ago who was absolutely distraught. The guy here in YU lived in Mork. He'd been battling with this issue for years and did everything right. He came back to his room one night at Motzei Shabbos. His roommate was not there, and the roommate's computer was there in the room. And he knew if the computer was in the room, he would have no control over himself. So he took his roommate's computer, and he brought it to the dorm counselor down the hall on the third floor of Morg. Right? So he took the computer, brought it. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, the door opens, and this guy thinks that his roommate has come back, and he's going to come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. The computer is going to be gone. I think that someone robbed the room, so he quickly got up, ran down to the dorm counselor, got the computer, plugged it back in again, and turned out it wasn't his roommate. Somebody came in to say hello. I mean, you know, once the computer was there, then he was sort of nichshol that evening. Here was even going out of his way to do everything that he could, and even then, again, the taiva, the yetzer, the lack of control, and these are stories that I hear 10, 15, 20, 30 times a week even about circumstances like that. But all we can do is to place ourselves in situations far removed and completely removed. That's for now, and that's for decisions that we make down the road in our life. What we're going to allow in our life, what's going to be in our life. That's number one. Number two, if a person ever has an issue in their life that they're trying to deal with, something they're struggling with, there's a discussion in the Rishonim, something that the Rambam discusses, sort of Derech Agav, something the Mabit discusses, who's an Achron, about perspectives on change, perspectives on tshuva overall. The person reads the Rambam, there's sort of a sense of a person becoming like an ish acher. Tshuva is something, a person is completely changed. And it's sort of almost like an all or nothing. Some of the Gemara is in Avodah Zarah about, again, a person who becomes like an ish acher, a person's kono, lama b'shaz, abishal achas. It sort of almost tells us that tshuva has to be sort of like an all or nothing proposition. Other Rishonim and maybe other Achronim are sort of not that way. When it comes to this issue about changing, when it comes to this specific inyan, if a person ever tells themselves, I want to completely eradicate a behavior, I want to completely change overnight, I want to completely change my life, so maybe that's a healthy perspective, but maybe even more healthy is saying, you know what, I want to have like one day of not doing X, one day of not doing Y, not having 3 hours, or not one day, or 2 days, or 3 days, and to build up a certain strength, to build up a certain self-control, to build up a certain and again, to take everything in life when it comes to changing, not sort of in this larger perspective, not in a global perspective, but in a very sort of almost day-to-day, minute-to-minute of a desire to change. It's a second thought. A third thought, we know the famous Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Bava Basra, that if the Yetzahara comes upon a person, so Mashkayol, the Beis Medrash, a person drags the Yetzahara to the Beis Medrash, a person learns. This is one of the key sort of Gemaras as far as any Mutzer Shmuz given in a Beis Medrash. I think what's really pshat in that Gemara, something that Revolbi discusses, but is obvious from any sort of psychological perspective, is that the more that a person feels a vibrancy in their life, a spiritual vibrancy in their life, so the more they feel distant from the effects of the Yetzer, the effects of temptation, the effects of sort of other sides of a person. If a person truly builds their life with a sense of meaning and a sense of value, a person is busy, a person is vibrant, a person is engaged, a person is learning well, a person gets up in the morning, so then already a person feels like those are the building blocks in which almost, for lack of a better word, the Yetzer then is almost kept at bay. When a person does not feel vibrant, a person doesn't feel busy, a person feels depressed, a person feels though their life does not have that same type of meaning, a person's angry at themselves. So essentially, it's completely allowing into that world whatever negative behavior, drinking, whatever the area is allowed into that world. So the fourth thought, which is, I imagine, obvious to us, we know the famous Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev that discussed Yosef. And Yosef, when he's about to be involved with Eishes Potiphar, so the famous Rashi says that he saw Dyukno Shel Aviv, a line that's always quoted. He saw the image of his father at the window. For those of you who have scary fathers, perhaps that Rashi takes on one significance, but I think what real pshat in that Rashi means, other than sort of fear of your fathers, which I guess might be a good thing at times, it never works in my house, but in theory maybe it's a good thing, it's sort of like an image of a person's best self, an image of who I am as a person. And to Yosef, Yaakov represented almost who he was at his best, and his history, and his role in the Mesorah, and sort of like the best who Yosef was. He saw that image of Yaakov, so he left. If a person has a very, very clear sense of themselves, a person has a clear sense of who they can be in life, a person has a clear sense of their Nivra B'Tselem, a person asks themselves, is this what I want for my life? Is this what I would want my children to be involved in? Is this who I want to be? Right? Isn't sort of this entire pattern of life contradictory to everything who I am and what I believe in, what I want my home to be, the type of marriage I want to have? A person has a very clear sense of themselves and something that is ingrained in themselves. So again, then how do I walk into a base in this? How do I see something that obviously is so far, not beneath, but just so far in contradiction to everything that who I am as a person? If a person thinks that this is something that is going to change when they're married, I'll be married, it's a fallacy, right? To think that all of a sudden the Yetzer is strong or less strong when a person is 28 or 40 or 50, it's a fallacy. If anything, almost just the reverse. If a person is married and they don't feel they have a vibrant sort of physical life in their marriage, that even drives a person perhaps even more so to seeking other outlets and other opportunities. And it's not something that a person needs to cultivate and develop at a young age and continue that for years into a person's life. An image of who I am, an image of the the Shechina, an image of that Tzema Elokim, an image of what type of life do I want, an image of who I am as a person. So I mentioned this one last nekuda, or two last nekudos, and that's the following. You know, it's very easy for a person in this area of life, or any area of life, to experience tremendous atzvus. You know, I've dealt with students before here in the yeshiva, many students that feel as though they're attracted to men. They're not attracted to women, and they battle with those issues. And the message has to be, and it's obvious, that this is one facet of your life. Right? It doesn't mean that you're not a Ben Torah, it doesn't mean that you're not a Bar Aliyah, it doesn't mean that Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't love you, it doesn't mean you can't accomplish amazing things in your life. And if you're going to be dragged down by atzvus, if you're going to be depressed and a sense of yayush, whatever person's experiencing in life, it's one facet of who you are. It's one nekuda of who you are. Right? This thing I'm struggling with, I'm beloved by a Kosh Baruch from a thousand other areas. It doesn't mean my Lima Torah is any less significant. It doesn't mean my tefillah is any less significant. If anything, it's even more significant because it comes from a real place of being broken sometimes. It doesn't mean that I'm any less beloved in the eyes of Kosh Baruch. Okay, I'm struggling with this issue. But again, it doesn't have to be that a person is taken over in their life by a sense of atzvus, by a sense of self-loathing, which often is the case. This is an area of a life that a person has to tackle, but it doesn't have to be viewed as the defining area of a person's life in a way that becomes debilitating, in a way that becomes often almost too much to handle. Every eitzah that I mentioned, not getting sucked into atzvus, building a vital and vibrant life of Avodas Hashem, making all sorts of gedarim in a person's life, having a certain self-image about who they are, etc. Those are all effective for someone that is dealing with the issue in a way that is somewhat still functional. Right? Most areas in life, there is a functional way of dealing with the problem, and there is a non-functional way of dealing with the problem. There are people in life who have issues of anger, and there's a scale in which anger is appropriate. There's a scale in which everyone gets angry. It's not something that defines them. It's not something that affects their relation with their wife or their children or their friends. And there are people that deal with anger in such a way that it's no longer effective, just I'm going to try this, or I'm going to try that eitzah, I'm going to try... Often, and many guys in yeshiva are in this category, the problem has gotten to a point where it's not enough just to sort of, you know, try a new sort of mahalik in a person's life, but often other avenues need to be tried. None of the parties who are present are in the description that I mentioned now, but there are Guard Your Eyes websites, there are phone calls, there are chat rooms, there are places to go for chat calls, there is SA, which is also to get help. There were a number of guys who were living here in Morg. One guy called up one evening a phone call for these group calls to discuss the issue, and it turns out that one of the other guys speaking was the guy next to him in Morg. I mean, the guy literally in the room next to him in Morg, and a third guy speaking was the guy on the floor upstairs in Morg. They were speaking, all calling into an international call of men dealing with these issues, and it turned out they realized that there were 15, 20 different guys, even just in YU, sort of on the same phone call as well, and they formed here, they just meet in my office, groups of people to sort of deal with this issue. There is a point in life where a person says, you know what, I just need help. That's not anything at all to be embarrassed about. If anything, just the opposite of anything shows like a beautiful strength and a beautiful dedication to working on oneself. The person ever feels, you know what, I need sort of a third party organization or some way to deal with this issue. Certainly it's something that isn't just appropriate, but is necessary once a person's been trying for X amount of years to deal with this issue. Obviously, if anybody here ever wants to talk about the issue, either in regards to themselves or someone they know or a sibling or in any other capacity, by all means, a person should never feel embarrassed to speak to me. And I wish everyone here tremendous hatzlacha. Everyone here is trying to grow. Everyone here is trying to grow within a context of the Yetzer, the complication of life, the complication of what it means to be human, the complication of what it means to live in this world. We're all just sort of trying to find a derech to serve a Kosh Baruch Hu with. We're just trying to find healthiness in our lives. So I give you guys such a yasha koach. We should continue to grow, continue to confront exactly all of our challenges in life. We continue to elevate the physical challenges in our life as a further opportunity to serve a Kosh Baruch Hu and to truly live a life of Torah. Thank you guys. I want to